Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast lead over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
We're here. 20 minutes late. But we're here. What the hell's up with those guys? Come on, E.
They can't control themselves.
Fred, we need you back.
That's what I'm saying.
Andy runs the ship, and we go 20 minutes deep into the next program.
He sunk.
Wow.
You remember when you were a kid in school, and there was a substitute teacher, and the substitute would inevitably show up late to class?
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's right.
The bratty kid who was the punk would end up taking over the classroom and start a ruckus.
But the problem is...
That's what happens when Andy gets behind the microphone.
The problem is, when you do that in college, after 5 or 10 minutes, you get up and you walk out of class. I'm hoping that nobody has gotten up and walked out of class. Not that we're going to school anybody here.
Class is
in session. We are here. Welcome inside the playbook for a Thursday. I'm John Rook. He's Eric Scalavino from Patriots Football Weekly. Aaron Wilson from the Carroll County Times, suburban Baltimore, Maryland, is going to join us in about 15 minutes to go over the Baltimore Ravens. Their practice actually ends, their media viewing portion of practice ends in 10 minutes. And so once he's done with that, then he's going to join us and we'll get the very latest from the Baltimore Ravens coming in. And of course, in our 3 o'clock hour, Russell S. Baxter, profootballguru.com, Cold Hard Football Facts, and Bleacher Report. He will join us as he always does on Thursdays to go over the week in the NFL, week 3 in the NFL coming up. In fact, starting a little bit later on tonight. A couple of things I want to get to, Eric, before we get to the phones. I want to make sure that everybody knows that on Thursdays, we need your predictions, and I expect there to be an overflow number of predictions for the game this week. Unlike last week, where complacency set in, I hammered everybody for it last week, and look what happened. Clearly, there was a matter of complacency, not only in the fandom, but in the locker room at some places as well.
It seemed like it. They were fessing up after the game.
Yes, they were. They didn't have a good week of practice, what have you. And we'll touch on that in a minute as we get into it here. But right now, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Facebook, John.Rook. Twitter, @JRook0722. Fire off your predictions. There's got to be some good ones for this weekend's game. Eric's just shared his a short while ago. I will share mine with you. I don't know that you'll be terribly surprised by my prediction, considering, you know, the relative health and well-being of both teams coming in, what we've seen from Baltimore in 2 weeks, what we've seen from New England in the first 2 weeks as well. But I'll hold on to it, and I want you to share yours. So fire them off, webradio@patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. John.Rook on Facebook. Submit the friend request if you haven't done that, and then you can post and chat, and we can do all kinds of things on the Facebook page. And then the Twitter page, @JRook, J-R-O-O-K-E, 0722. Bring it, and bring it strong. Tell me why you think they'll lose and why you don't think they'll lose, why you think they'll bounce back and win. Because the why is really what we get into around here. So, that having been said, let's start with practice today.
Like yesterday, there was no Aaron Hernandez, no surprise there.
Right.
And rookie Justin Francis, who was injured during practice yesterday, ankle, not out there today. So those were the only two absentees. They were in full pads, as I kind of predicted yesterday.
Mm-hmm. That there'd be some hitting.
It came today, since they have the night game, so it's a little bit longer wait than usual to kick off. So full pads today. And just those two guys missing, and that's about as healthy as you can expect a team to be at any point in the football season. But all things considered, they're in pretty decent shape. They had a lot of guys who were limited yesterday. Brandon Lloyd, I should mention, was added to the injury report late yesterday, John, with a thigh injury, but he was out there in full pads today. We'll see what his condition is later on this afternoon. Greg Solis, whom they cut the other day, is back on the practice squad. Kerry Taylor is the victim.
I'd forgotten that Salah's had some practice squad eligibility left.
Yes,
so.
And he is back.
Okay, so he is back with the team. Not a huge surprise anyway. One thing before I get to the phones and get to some of the early Facebook posts here and emails. I wonder if you saw or heard the story, and I'm sure you have, and you probably even talked about it a little bit earlier today, the Arizona defensive coordinator Ray Horton telling local radio station in Arizona that Tom Brady was tipping what was coming by his formation and his lineup. And since that's pretty much been debunked by several media outlets since Coach Horton said that yesterday afternoon, while we were on the air here, I believe. At the same time, I wonder what your thoughts are, because quite frankly, I think that sort of goes right in line with some of the inconsistencies that we've seen from the Patriots in the first 2 weeks, trying to readjust and get used to Josh McDaniels as their play caller again.
Well, here's my take on it. I mean, I kind of understand where Ray Horton was coming from, because against Tennessee, Brady was predominantly under center.
Right.
I mean, almost exclusively under center.
Right.
All of the running plays came from that position, and most of his throws came from there too, which made them less predictable in their formations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when Hernandez got hurt, they went to the three wides, they threw Brady back into the shotgun, and they became predictable again. When he was in the shotgun, 90% of the time or more, they were going to throw. When he was under center, most of the time they were handing off. Now, they mixed a little bit in there, you know, a couple of draws and delayed handoffs from the shotgun. But for the most part, when he was in the gun, they were throwing. When he was under center, they were running. And that's historically what that team does. So, was it predictable? Kind of. But anybody who's watched football kind of could have figured that out, which is why I think it's so important that they went out and they got another tight end like Aaron Hernandez in Kellen Winslow, because I think they need to go back to what they did against Tennessee, which was two tight ends, two wide receivers, line up, put Brady under center, and don't give the defense any idea what you're going to do. Be able to run and throw from the same personnel groupings. So I like that they were able to get Winslow, and hopefully he can stay on the field and do some things that Hernandez was able to do.
Two quick things about that. I like the fact that they are going to stay the course and try to continue to do what they spent basically the entire offseason trying to mold with the two tight ends. They didn't want to ditch the package, and I understand that. They're very fortunate in that they were able to find a similar style receiver in Kellen Winslow than they had with Aaron Hernandez. So I think they're lucky. So I think it's great that they can try to plug this in. But if it doesn't work for whatever reason, or it takes, you know, Winslow a longer time than we're imagining it could take him to get in sync with what they're trying to do on offense, the ability to be able to adjust must occur, and I think that may be the biggest key of all this week, especially going against arguably the toughest opponent right now in the entire league that they could face.
Well, I think Houston and San Francisco might have something to say about that as far as being the toughest opponent.
I did say arguably.
Yeah. So I'll argue with you.
Okay.
you asked for it, you're getting it.
Okay.
But you're right. They're one of the toughest ones on the schedule for New England this year, no doubt. And it's on the road. You're right. It's a quick turnaround for Winslow to try to get acclimated and get this offense absorbed in time for him to contribute. But I think he's going to. And I think given what I've seen of him in the past, I think he's a good enough player and a smart enough player that I think he'll be able to do it.
Does the Welker issue solve itself this week, or are we still talking about it next week?
That's a great question, John. I think he plays, and I think he gets his catches. But I think Brady still spreads the ball around. So
yeah.
I don't think...
Yeah.
Could Welker go in and have a 12-catch, 122-touchdown game? Sure. Any week. So could Gronk. So could Branch, for that matter. Mm-hmm. I mean, any receiver on this team is capable of doing that. But I don't think they're going to do that with anybody if they can at all avoid it. I think they're going to try to be unpredictable.
Because the thought process is to spread it around and be as unpredictable as possible.
Right.
And that's the whole predication behind the two tight end offense. Line it up. You don't know whether we're running or passing.
And you don't know what Baltimore is going to key on. Are they going to double team Gronk? They'd be stupid not to, but if they don't double-team him, then you throw to him.
Right, right.
If they do double-team him, you throw to Welker or Lloyd
right.
or whoever's open.
Right.
And it depends on who the Ravens decide they want to focus on and take away. And so you go to the others. Maybe you check down to Ridley and get him involved a little bit somehow. If they can do that, and who knows, maybe Winslow will get involved in that somehow. Because honestly, I think, you know, like I said this yesterday watching the film, Michael Haumanu'i wasn't getting the job done blocking in the passing game. So I'm encouraged that they were able to get Winslow, and if he can play right away, I think that will that will calm some fears.
The Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. Olivier in Virginia has been kind enough to hang on. Olivier, you're in the playbook. How are you today?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Awesome. Bonjour.
Excellent. Bonjour. So, you know, to answer your question, it depends on the offensive line. I think if the offensive line is better than last week, I think Brady is not going to get rattled. And he will be precise, and he won't be afraid. But I saw him being afraid against Arizona. I saw him being confused. I don't know if he's if he doesn't like what he sees, if he doesn't like the play calling. And then I'm thinking, you know, what value does McDaniel is actually bringing to the offense? It seems like we are regressing instead of progressing, even though we've got a huge arsenal of weapons. So, well, sorry.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
Yeah. So basically, to me, it's. If the offensive line can protect Brady and if Brady can feel comfortable, I think we win. So if the offensive line is in a state of rebuilding, if state of flux, I think we lose. And I think we lose by, you know, probably a field goal or two field goals.
All right, just a point about the offensive line. What you're talking about specifically, Olivier, is the right guard position. The reason Brady was sacked four times against Arizona was not because of the offensive line as a whole. I went back and watched the film, and he was sacked once because of his jitters, his own jitters. He ran into coverage. The other two times were a direct result of one was Donald Thomas's fault.
Yep.
Missed assignment on a very good stunt by the Cardinals, executed perfectly. The other one was the aforementioned tight end Haumanu'i, who didn't get over and block his man. Yep. So you can't blame that on the offensive line. The O-line is about as settled as you're going to get. It's unfortunate that Dan Connolly was out with the concussion
and Waters
and wasn't able to play. Well, yeah, just forget about Waters. That ship has sailed. That's not going to happen. Dan Connolly is your starting right guard, and he was out. If he had been in there, as we saw the week before in Tennessee, the offensive line did a great job against Tennessee, against a good Tennessee defense. They weren't the problem. They were blocking for Brady. He was only sacked once in that game.
Okay.
And against Arizona, it's really that one position that you have to worry about. I think Vollmer got more snaps than he did the week before, and Solder has played fairly well. Ryan Wendell's doing a fine job at center. Mankins obviously still is an all-pro player at his position. The line, you really shouldn't worry about the line so much, I don't think. It's going to be more...
Can they be balanced?
Can they be a balanced team is what's going to be the problem. They weren't balanced against Arizona, and that's what killed them.
Yeah, and don't you think Brady looked a little bit... Except for the two-minute warning when we had, at the end of the fourth quarter, it looked like it was vintage Brady. So, you know, he has it. But why do you think he was, he was so startled? He looked like he was afraid. He was like not comfortable at all.
Well, I think when you go in with a certain mindset about how something's going to play out and you don't prepare for the eventuality that it doesn't work out, I think they got caught off guard, honestly. I don't think they prepared well enough for this game, for this past game. And I think it bit them because they got into a situation where they needed to adjust, as John said, and they weren't able to do it effectively. And it took them until the end of the game before they finally got into a little bit of a rhythm.
Right.
And by then it was a little too late. And then, as we said yesterday, they didn't deserve to win. And that showed in the missed field goal.
Yeah, well.
They just need to be more prepared. I think they will. I certainly think, as John said, they'll take this game more seriously than they did last week.
No question that the Ravens will have their attention.
I just don't know.
They're
going to be up for the challenge.
Right, right. That's a huge factor.
I agree with you. I just don't see it. Of course, according to what we've seen versus the Cardinals, and then, you know, with all the credit to the Titans, it's not the same team as the Ravens, obviously. And, you know, I live in Virginia, so very close to Ravens country. And of course, these guys, you know, they want a bloodbath. They want revenge from the championship that they lost by a field goal as well. But I think this can be good for the Pats. I think they can raise up to the rise to the challenge. But I don't know if we've got the talent to be able to do that.
I think they have the talent.
Oh yeah.
I think that's the biggest problem that I have, and I know a lot of other people that are having with the Patriots right now, is realizing that these guys they've got more talent really than they've had in maybe even the last since
07.
Certainly since 07.
Since 07. This team is the most talented.
This team
they've
has
had.
More,
both sides of the ball.
There's no question. This team has more.
The defense has been great, by the way. Well,
It has been. In fact,
particularly against the run.
Against the run, it's been very, very good. But this team has morphed from being a veteran team with talent and being, you know, just three, 4 short years ago, one of the oldest teams in the league, to now being one of the two or three youngest teams in the league when you go by man-to-man and average out the ages on the roster. So the fact that they've been able to do it and maintain this level of competitiveness is really remarkable, and I think that something should be said toward that. However, as Stephen A. Smith likes to say, the problem here is that they've got the talent, but they're not plugging. They're trying to put, I think, round pegs into square holes right now still. And I think there's just a little bit of disconnect between what Josh McDaniels and what the organization wants to do in theory going forward and whether or not that really meshes with the complete and total package that they have here in 2012. They're taking a big picture look at what they have for the next 3 to 5 years. And yes, that does include Tom Brady at quarterback. But the problem is that what they have, they think, for the next few years and what they might have right now might be two different things.
You're referring to the Welker situation?
Yes. Yes, and I think that there's got to be some consternation in there somewhere, somehow, and I think there's a willingness to want to go to him, and there may not, and I think there's great validity what you said yesterday on this program, Eric, that this can't be about pettiness, because that would fly in the face of everything that we've really seen from Bill Belichick in his previous 12 years around here, as a head coach anyway. What we think it is, and I happen to agree with you after, you know, a little further reflection on this over the last day, this really is all about Welker not being here next year. And so we have to see what we've got, and we really have to start turning the page toward the future and looking big picture, and is a guy like Julian Edelman going to be a part of it?
At what cost?
Well,
you know,
that's right.
Doesn't happen if you don't take care of the present.
That's right. That's the big question, Olivier, at what cost? And I am not one, as a fan, I am not one to sacrifice the future or, you know, sacrifice the present for the future. I thought they did that a few years ago with Richard Seymour. I called him out on the carpet then. It was a mistake to ditch him when they did, because I think they gave up the Super Bowl. I really believe that. And I think if they do the
same,
if they do, yes, arrogance. Arrogance. That's the word I'm looking for. I think you just hit the nail on the head. How do you balance, you know, the need to try to be competitive over the next few years with the arrogance and the need to win now? And that's a real tough mix.
Because, you know, if we had like half the defense that we have today last year, we would have won the Super Bowl. It's as simple as that with the offensive.
Yeah, if we had more playmakers, that would have helped, yeah.
Playmakers would have helped. But, again, we're 2 weeks into the season. I'm not going to anoint this defense the next Steel Curtain.
Yeah. They still have some growing to do, but.
Yeah, I agree with you. But
And you know what, Olivier, let's not go back to the Super Bowl again, really, because that's over and done with, and we can't change that. We have to worry about this year. We really do. We have to worry about this year. You can't go back and fix what happened last year.
It's the point here.
I've been married for too long, Eric.
talking about missed opportunities, are we, Olivier? yeah, now we're talking. Here's the thing. This is something that is probably going to continue to be a little painful before we get it all worked out. I don't feel terribly good about the game this weekend. I hope I'm wrong. As a fan, I hope I'm wrong. And believe me, as someone who covers the team, it's always better when this team wins. It always is. Everybody's fat and happy, so to speak. But I think that's part of the problem. I think that some people around here have gotten too fat and too happy.
And you know what?
And I'm not just talking about Fred and Andy either.
If they, they're fat. I don't know about the happy part. If they go 1-2, that doesn't mean they don't have a chance to go to the
Super Bowl. No, it does not. It's not the end of the year. The schedule, as we know, certainly plays in their favor as they progress here. They really should not get another, I would say, challenge like they're going to get this weekend until they see San Francisco.
You don't want to waste
that. And that's that's with all due respect to everybody else that's on the calendar. I don't want to diss the Jets or diss Buffalo or anybody like that. I really don't. That's not my intent here. But what I'm saying is that the schedule does play out for the Patriots to have an opportunity to work out the kinks, get on the same page with everybody here, maybe even get a healthy, you know, Hernandez back into the lineup, and then let's see what we got here. And this is the type of year where you really hope that you're firing on all cylinders once you get into December.
The good news also is that Branch is back, right? So at least
yes.
You get some more comfort to Brady. And if you put Branch and Lloyd on the same play,
yes.
It's deep threat all over the place. So that's encouraging, I think.
No question.
Just having Lloyd was not, I think, enough. Now no. Branch is back. Good news.
No question.
And what do you make of the reports from that Arizona coach that was saying that basically they knew exactly what Brady was going to do according to what he was saying in a huddle or whatever? Is this accurate? You know,
yeah, we were
magic recipe now.
Well, yeah. We just kind of talked about that before we brought you on the air.
Yeah.
But it's they were predictable, but
not to the point where it was 100% predictable. I mean,
yeah.
There were like 20 to 25 plays that, you know, where Brady, let's say, was under center and they didn't run the ball, or Brady was in the shotgun and they didn't pass the ball. So it wasn't as cut and dried as that, as Ray Horton at Arizona said.
Yeah, and it's also any team that is in the shotgun more than likely is going to throw, and any team that's under center is more than likely going to run the
pass.
Ball.
Yeah, so. I think you've got at least a little bit better than a 50-50 chance on any team you look at that's going to do that. So I really thought what Horton said was way overblown, and frankly, it was just kind of dumb. And I thought it took away from the performance of his players.
Yeah.
And the guys that I want to hand to are, you know, Calais Campbell and Washington
Dockett.
And Darnell Dockett.
Yeah.
Those three guys right there, I thought were.
And Patrick Peterson.
And Patrick, yeah, that goes without saying, I guess. How could I forget him? Mm. But those three, four guys right there were stupendous defensively. They really were. And you got to hand it to them.
Yeah.
They
said so before the game. He complimented them and so forth. Most people thought,
it's
another way that Bill is
right.
Complimenting the opposition just to prepare the guys and
right.
The team. But he wasn't actually inaccurate when he said what he said.
Right, right. No, not entirely inaccurate, but I just thought it was kind of like, really? I mean, that's what you glean out of that? I mean, you know, that you're going to tell us? That is no rocket science here, okay? I mean, I think when Brady steps back into the shotgun and you got an empty backfield, geez, what's it going to do?
Mm.
You know, I mean, come on. Really? I don't think you're going to have a run check called when he's in the shotgun. I really don't.
Hey, Eric, you participate to the training and you see them practice and so forth. Do you see a different swagger from both three levels of the team when you see them practice versus obviously what you've seen before last year? And do you think that they are more mentally strong? That you know, they of course that loss is going to motivate them to excel in the horse, you know, in the Ravens.
Olivier, we don't, once training camp ends, we see stretching. We don't see practice.
Oh.
So
are they stretching better?
Yeah, they're stretching. They're stretching with more enthusiasm than they did before. Yeah, yeah,
that's a good one.
Then I feel full confident that we should.
Right, you should. They'll be more limber than the Ravens.
Olivier, thanks for the phone call. Thank you for hanging on, too.
Have a great day.
All right.
You, too.
Take care, buddy.
We'll talk again very, very soon. All right, let's see. Before we get our guest on in here, let's go to Melvin in Tennessee. Melvin, you're in the playbook.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good, guy. What's up?
Nothing much. I just wanted to ask you, do you think that we just generally need Wes Welker more than we think? Because I think the offense without him, you know, takes a step back. And personally, I thought before the season that if he didn't come back next year, then it really wouldn't be that big of a deal. But seeing Edelman out there, I guess like Andy said yesterday, making catches more than plays, do you think that they will want to probably pay him some more money or invest more into him? Or what do you think this is really leading to? I'm really getting kind of confused by, you know, just this Wes Welker topic itself. I just don't think that they look quite as sharp without him being on the field, even before looking at the preseason game.
They look pretty sharp. They look pretty sharp to me in Nashville.
Yeah,
I know you were at that game, but
they
looked fine to me over there. I didn't have any problem with the offense then, and I didn't.
Yeah, that would be the one time. But I know before the preseason game,
I mean, I don't worry about preseason. I don't give a damn about preseason. That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't show us anything. What matters is what they do in the regular season. And the first game, they were healthy and balanced, and they were great, and they scored 34 points. Last week, they were unhealthy, imbalanced, and they scored 18 points. To me, that's what it comes down to. They have to get back to being balanced, and they didn't have that last week.
You think more of it's just a, you know, unhealthy thing and being not prepared more than just.
Yeah, I do think that they took the game a little bit for granted, and they admitted as much afterwards. They didn't practice very well, and when you don't practice well, that's a sign that you're not concentrating on what you're supposed to do. Well, you're distracted about something, or you're just not taking it seriously enough, and I think that was a problem last week. And they've done this. This is his, you know, unfortunately, this is something that has a historical merit with this team. As we talked about yesterday, they do this at least once a year. They take a team for granted and they get burned.
They get burned.
We saw it in Buffalo.
Buffalo
saw it in Cleveland.
Last year. Yeah. Cleveland 2 years ago.
Yeah. This happens with this team, and it's because they're human. I don't fault them for that. You know, how many of us have ever not taken something for granted or mistakenly been too relaxed and gotten burned by it? I think that was part of what played into it last week. It just, unfortunately, they also lost Hernandez, which just compounded the problem.
Okay, well, like I said, I was just concerned about it. I know, of course, when he was in Nashville, even if he's on the field, he's an awful good decoy. Even if you're not going to use him, he draws attention. So
Welker?
I don't know why. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just didn't know why. I was like, with him not being out there, that, like, I guess it's like you're saying now, it makes them 10 times more predictable. That's one weapon you don't have to worry about.
Right.
So, I don't know. Like I said, I'm looking forward to the game. I guess I'm maybe starting to question myself a little bit, but I still think they'll be fine.
Well,
I just want to see how they're going to play out.
Sure. I think that they'll be fine eventually, but I think the problem here is that we may or may not have – We may or may not have the ability to be patient where that's concerned. I mean, that's what really, I mean, I think that's where Patriot fans are gonna probably have, you know, they're gonna have the most trouble, to be honest with you. I mean, I fully expect if this team loses this weekend that next Tuesday, you know, we'll be loaded up on the phone lines. The emails will be, you know, running rampant about what's wrong with this team. They've got a losing record for the first time in more than a decade and blah, blah, blah. And we're only 3 weeks into the season. It's because people tend to have an overreaction to what's going on. And I think that the overreaction, in some instances by fans, you know, that's what fans do. But you have to kind of take a half a step back and realize again that what they've done in the offseason is really try to make over a lot of their philosophical way of thinking on both sides of the ball, not only bringing McDaniels back in, but also having different pieces of the puzzle for him to work with. And then, of course, defensively, well, that goes without saying. Here, I mean, they've gotten younger. They've got a couple more playmakers. It certainly seems like they've gotten better. Yeah. We've seen that statistically the first 2 weeks, number two in the NFL in yards allowed, which is, I mean, going from next to last to next to best. I realize there's not a whole lot of games yet to really hang your hat on, but that's a great step. And so there are a lot of changes that will probably fluctuate between now and, say, oh, I don't know, week 8 or 9, when you really know what kind of a team you have. And that's how long it takes in the NFL to really know what kind of a team you have. You know, college football is different. You got a senior-laden team, you should have an experienced team, a team that can win in the fourth quarter, yada, yada, right? Mm-hmm. And so usually by the third or the fourth week in the college year, you know what kind of a team you got.
Right.
In the pros, it takes you longer because it's just, first of all, everybody's got somebody, okay? Everybody's got playmakers, most everybody. Everybody's got the same schedule. Everybody's got the same injury problems, what have you. And so you go out there and play, and it's really you're matching wits against the other guy. And there's really not a whole lot of difference. It's all about execution and whether or not your coaching staff can put you in the proper position in order to take advantage of the execution opportunities that you have. And so last week, you'd have to say Arizona outcoached New England because the Patriots just weren't prepared, even though we all seem to think, and I think everybody agrees here, Marilyn, that the Patriots probably, man-to-man, have better talent on the roster than Arizona does. So if that's the case, then where the differences lie? The differences lie in the little things, and right now getting to be able to take advantage of the little things is a little more problematic than we originally thought because of the transformation of ideology. I hope that makes sense.
Right. Right, right. I understand. Okay, well, like I said, hopefully we can use that to our benefit kind of this week because, you know, with Winslow and Branch and all these other players, I think we should be a little bit more unpredictable for sure, at least this week. So we'll see how it goes, but I'm looking forward to it.
Correct. Absolutely correct. All right, Melvin, hey, thanks for the call. You got it,
man. Take care, Melvin.
Melvin in Tennessee, 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. You got your thoughts on the game? We didn't ask, you know, what his prediction was. Should have asked what his prediction was. I didn't,
all right, you can write back in.
All right, well, we're trying to track down.
Hit you up on the Twitter.
We're trying to track down Aaron Wilson from the Collin County Times. He is on duty covering the Ravens just after their practice has ended in Baltimore today. So as soon as we can get him from his paper duties, we'll get him here on the program. In the meantime, we're going to continue with you. We need you to fire off your emails right here, right now. webradio@patriots.com, or you can hit us up on the Facebook page, John.Rook. You can hit us up on Twitter, @JRook0722. Send me your predictions for Sunday. Come on now, let's go. There's no sitting on the fence here. You got some thoughts on the game. You probably know or feel at least like how you think this thing is going to come down. So let me hear it. You know, there's no such thing as a bad opinion. There's no such thing. If you have an opinion, we'll sit here and we'll share it. That's all there is to it. Tom writes, always love to listen to the podcast. I was listening to PFW yesterday, and it bothers me that people are bashing Welker. That certainly isn't helping the situation. I have my thought on why this is happening, though. I think it's because the Red Sox stunk so bad this year, and everyone was looking to the Patriots to heal those wounds. Now that things aren't going perfect, they're looking for someone to blame the way they did with the Sox. There's more positives to take from the past season thus far than negatives. Defense looks great. Offense will correct itself. Special teams had a bad day. Offense wasn't strong enough to cover the special teams' mistakes. All good points. I feel the Pats will be fine. They have had hiccup games almost every season, which Eric just mentioned. Although the Ravens are also coming off of a last loss as well, it isn't good for the Patriots. I think they'll be fine, and they take this game in a close one, 24-21. They historically catch fire after dropping a bad game, so I'll hope for the same.
I think his score is probably in the right area. I just think it's flipped.
You think it's
the Ravens win?
Yep.
By about 4 points.
Mm.
25, 21, 24, 20, somewhere around there.
You want to give me your prediction then since you're on that page anyway?
Yeah. I'm going with the Ravens, John.
Are you?
Yeah. I think they win a close game. I think it might be a little bit of a back-and-forth contest and not a huge scoring game because I think both defenses are good enough that they're going to limit those offenses as good as those offenses are. And the Ravens' offense has gotten better, but I think I take the home factor. I take the fact that Baltimore lost last week, too, in a game that they probably should have won. I think they're going to be a little bit more upset, a little bit more feisty, and I think for the first time since 2009, the Patriots lose two games in a row, John.
Ooh, okay. And that was the last time we had two losses in a row was 2009, correct?
Yeah, they lost a stinker of a game in New Orleans.
Right, right, I remember that.
And then bounced back with a loss, 1 point at Miami.
Okay. Joe in Michigan
which
writes,
can, I'm sorry, just yes. that game falls into the category of losing to a team they should not have.
Correct. Joe in Michigan says, John, rough loss this past weekend as my 38-16 prediction was definitely way off, but I'll take a stab at it for this weekend, too. Hardly ever do the Patriots lose back-to-back, and the Patriots haven't been 1-2 in over a decade, so I'm going with them in a close game, a score of 27-24, with Gostkowski getting redemption with a game-winning field goal. I think Brandon Lloyd gets his first touchdown as a Patriot. Ridley rushes one in. Gronk reels in one for his third consecutive game with a touchdown to start the season. Where did that come from? Where did that drop come from again?
Entourage, right?
Entourage, right. Lloyd! The Ravens will score a touchdown late to tie it up. Less than 2 minutes left, but Brady's going to drive down the field in surgical fashion and set his kicker up for a second game-winning attempt in as many weeks. Only this time he makes it.
Okay.
Interesting thoughts. A little bit of redemption, he says, Joe in Michigan says, for Stephen Gostkowski.
That'd be nice for him, yeah. I don't see it happening, though.
Are you at all surprised, just before I move on here, are you at all surprised that Gostkowski caught as little flack as he did for that game? For duck hook and a 42-yarder at the end?
No, I'm not surprised.
Team losing?
No. The guy had made four previous, two of them over 50 yards. He was one of the reasons they were in the game and had a chance at the end. Certainly not surprised that he didn't take it as much flack. He shouldn't have.
No.
He shouldn't have. It's unfortunate that the one he missed came at when it did, but he wasn't the reason they lost that game.
If it had come earlier in the game, it might have been better because then the Patriots would have been forced to go for the touchdown at the end.
Maybe. But, yeah, maybe they wouldn't have been as conservative in their play calling after the fumble that they recovered.
Right.
You know, maybe they would have taken some shots downfield, and maybe they would have only had to settle for a 30-yarder or a more of a chip shot. Because I know they're professionals and they have strong legs, but 42 is not a chip shot. 42 yards is not a chip shot field goal.
What was your longest ever made?
In a game, 45.
45?
Yeah.
Nice.
Made longer ones in practice, but game opportunities.
In practice? How long did you hit?
I hit one. I hit two from 60 in practice.
No, seriously?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In those legs?
No, these legs were a lot stronger back then, my friend.
I Josh.
These legs were a lot younger and stronger back then.
I wish I could have. I've kicked a 37-yarder before,
mm-hmm.
and obviously that was not with a full rush coming at me.
No,
but it was with a snap and a hold. I was able to do
that. I bet you I know where that was, too.
Where?
Brown Stadium.
No, it was not at Brown Stadium.
Really?
It was at Schoelkopf Field.
What the hell is that?
That's at Cornell.
Oh.
Because they have they have AstroTurf there. So I got a little spring in my step, a little bounce, and didn't have as much drag through the kick going through the grass like you'd have at Brown Stadium as opposed to
I preferred grass.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. Because I always felt like I got more of a secure footing with my cleats going into the grass. I hated turf. I always felt like I was going to slip on the turf.
I understand that. Howard in Stratford, Connecticut says, Pats 28, Ravens 24. Pats O, i.e. Brady, bounced back from a poor showing. Connolly adds stability to the offensive line that allows Brady to have more time to pick apart an aging but still good defense. That's a good point. Dan Connolly, hopefully, back in relatively good shape this week.
Yeah.
How much does that help here?
I think it helps immensely because I think he was your starting right guard, and he has considerable experience there. Having had to, at guard, having had to fill in for Mankins before, for Stephen Neal before that. And he performed fine when he was in that role. Donald Thomas, a little less experience, and it showed last week when he had to get the start. But you need, you hate to say it in light of the fact that they lost, but you need guys like that to get those reps. Kind of like Edelman is getting now. You need them to get those reps in order for them to finally be confident that you'll be able to start them at some point when you absolutely need to. And in Thomas's case, you might not ever need him to start on a more long-term basis. But mm-hmm. but if you need him in a pinch, you need to be confident that he can come in. Like when Connolly used to have to come in, you felt confident that he could do the job. When Russ Hochstein came in as a backup, you were confident that he could do the job, whether it was center or guard. You need more guys like that. And I think Thomas had a little growing pains in that game, but long term, I think it's beneficial for him.
All right, a bunch of Facebook posts and also in the chat mode here on the Facebook page coming in. So let me catch up with some of these as well. Steve says, John, I'm not feeling too confident about it, but I think the Pats have the formula to go into Baltimore and barely sneak out with the W. I say defenses dominate, Pats win 17-16. And then he says, while Eric is still there, please chime in yourself. Is there any chance this could end up being a trap game for Baltimore? Do they underestimate the Pats given the loss to an otherwise inferior team last week?
I don't think Baltimore has taken this for granted at all, especially considering the fact that they lost to this team in the AFC title game.
Right. I would agree with that.
And I don't buy the revenge factor as much because you can't get revenge. You can't get the AFC title game by winning this game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not – revenge doesn't play any part in it. They just are motivated for the opponent, if I'm making sense and being clear there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't exact revenge. You can't get the AFC title trophy back from New England by winning this game. But you can use that loss as motivation to take this game more seriously.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, I don't think they're going to – this is not a trap game for Baltimore.
Axel says, John, first I'd like to thank you for accepting my friend request, and I have some questions. Do you think that the Patriots will be able to run the ball with some success against a pretty good Baltimore D?
You better hope so.
Yeah, I think ball control will certainly be key here. Number two, did you see A Football Life with Ray Lewis last night? If so, what did you think of it?
I did not see it.
I didn't either, although I've heard a lot about it. And, you know, that he's said some typical outlandish Ray Lewis type things like God incarcerated him and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, come on, what? No.
I would assume that's being repeated tonight.
Yeah, I assume it is. And I heard that's one of the things that was in there. And I'm kind of like,
If anyone can check on that and tweet at me about that.
I might
set the DVR tonight if it's going to be on.
He says, will we see more running backs in the game than just Ridley and Woodhead?
Well, I think he's asking maybe about Shane Vereen there, whether or not he's going to be healthy and active. I would hope.
Or Bolden?
I would hope so. Well, Bolden was active and played the last couple of weeks, but I think the name that people are more excited about is Vereen, and hopefully he's active this week because that would help.
He says, lastly, I know it's called Patriots Playbook, but I personally like it when you talk about college sports, and please bring back Guess the Fight Song before and after commercials. See, Kev, there you go. He likes it. He likes Guess the Fight Song. Says, you guys got a great show. Keep it up. I will tune in to Nitpick Tuesday, and hopefully there isn't a lot to nitpick. Axel says, final score, 24-20 Pats. Michael, the key to this Ravens game will be mistakes and big plays by either side. Both sides will make mistakes, including an interception by Brady and a fumble by an interception by the Ravens. Patriots will also have a solid run from Ridley, one big catch by Lloyd. Welker will have a solid game, 8 catches, he says. Final is 27.
8 catches.
8.
Well, okay.
Final will be 27-21 Pats and a final stop by the New England defense. Okay, and then let me get one more in here before you go here. Tim, the fact they offered Waters triple his salary is a concern. Obviously, they know what a weakness that spot is. If Scar can't coach it up, nobody can. Defenses look great through 2 weeks, but against rebuilding offenses, Baltimore is not that. They're effective, efficient, run a hurry-up that the rookies have only faced on the practice field. Sadly, I predict a loss, 28-21. I hope I'm wrong. Card's coach comments are overblown. It was never more obvious the Pats were going to pass that on the TV drive than it was their best of the game.
It's true. That's a good point, too. Yeah.
All pretty good right there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good points. All right, so you have the Pats losing a close one.
I have the Pats losing a close one. Score in the 20s for both teams.
All right. My prediction's coming up at the end of the next hour as Russell S. Baxter is coming up after the break. Big E, have a fun trip down to Baltimore.
Thank you.
Make sure you try the clam cakes.
You know I don't eat seafood.
Dude.
You mean crab cakes.
What did I say, clam cakes? Clam cakes. Duh. I'd like to try that myself.
Clam cakes we get down in Rhode Island.
He's got clam on the brain here.
I do have clam. Of the bearded variety?
Oh! Wow, when did this turn into PFW Progress?
I was just about to say, let's just step right into the Andy Hart line right there.
We jumped right out of the playbook.
Jumped right out and back into the morass. No, the crab cakes are outstanding, but I didn't realize you didn't do seafood.
I don't eat seafood.
Okay.
No. Well, we're going to a nice Italian restaurant in Baltimore's Little Italy.
All right. Nice. All right. That's acceptable then. All right.
And I'm going to Sunday pay a visit to Edgar Allan Poe's gravesite.
Nevermore.
That's right.
You'll have to read my preview tomorrow on golocalprov.com.
Oh, okay.
I did pull out a little Edgar Allan Poe.
Really?
Yes, I did.
So when you take some Ray Lewis sound at the end, you're quoting the Raven?
Yeah, quote the Raven.
Nevermore?
That's it. All right.
Well done.
Eric Scalavino, Patriots Football Weekly. We'll take the time out. We're going to continue with your emails, your Facebook posts, and your tweets. We want you to predict the score and how's it going to come down. Who's going to win it, and how are they going to win it? That's all coming up. Hour 2, Playbook, coming up.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback. A running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo sacks at Gerard Mayo speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots.
Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pats tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
Welcome back inside Patriots Playbook. It's hour number two for a Thursday on Patriots.com Radio. My name is John Rook. Russell Baxter to join us here shortly. A couple of tweets came along here. At JRook0722 is the Twitter address. John sends this via Twitter. He says, do you see Daniel Fells making it on the game day roster soon? Do you see him being on the team if and when Shanko is healthy? And those are great questions. I posed that just a moment ago before Eric left the studio. And he said yes on both questions, John.
to answer it. The Patriots like Daniel Fells a lot. They've signed him to a 3-year deal, so quite frankly, don't be surprised to see him activated this week. And don't be surprised to see him stick around if and when Shanko is healthy, because they like, no, scratch that, love tight ends. They were a little short this past week because of what happened to Aaron Hernandez, but they still love tight ends to the point where they went out and got Kellen Winslow, and they're plugging him into the lineup. So, yes, to answer your question, absolutely. I think he'll be on the game day roster this week, and I see him being on the team if and when Vicente Shanko is indeed healthy. Hope that answers your question. Don't forget, you can always send us your questions via Twitter, at JRook0722, web radio, at Patriots.com, the email address, and the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, Facebook page, John.Rook. Four different ways to get a hold of us, either old-fashioned way or new social media way. And we still need your predictions for Sunday's game. All right, let's bring in Russell Baxter. ProFootballGuru.com, Cold Hard Football Facts, Bleacher Report, NFL knowledge extraordinaire. Mr. Baxter, how are you today?
I'm great, but you already got me thinking here. I mean, you know, with that talking about the Patriots and their, you know, love for tight ends and the fact they brought Deion Branch this week, I have two words for you, and he's not related.
Okay.
Russ Francis.
Yeah, well, all world, right? All world, yes. Tight end, Russ Francis.
I would imagine he'll be knocking on the door anytime soon.
We might get him, because it seems like they've been auditioning tight ends. So, and then they certainly brought in a lot throughout the offseason, knowing that this is the route they wanted to go. And that certainly has been a point to our conversation all week long, with Aaron Hernandez going down last week. And, you know, we seem to think that they've plugged the hole pretty well with bringing up Kellen Winslow and signing him to a 1-year deal. Daniel Fells getting activated. They've still got Shanko on the back burner. And don't forget, remember that last year, and I know you know this, they picked up Jake Ballard from the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And he's unable to play this year because of the knee that he tore up in the Super Bowl. So the Patriots are stacked at tight end for a while, it would seem.
They have everybody's tight end.
Yeah, just about.
They do. I mean, it's a big part of their offense now. The majority of the touchdown passes Tom Brady throws are to tight ends, not wide receivers anymore. What was it last year? 39 touchdown passes last year.
Mm-hmm.
15 to wide receivers and 24 to the tight end.
Mm-hmm.
What did we see? What did we see early in the stages this year? Same thing.
Yep.
So it just doesn't diminish, and it's what they do. And until somebody learns to cover them consistently, I totally get it. So,
How shocked were you by the game last week?
Stunned, absolutely stunned. And I don't want to take anything away from Arizona.
Right.
Who is 9-2 in its last 11 games,
mm-hmm.
going back after that 1-6 start. And for people who, you know, take a closer look, they won at Philadelphia last year. They beat the 49ers last year. And now a road win at New England. So, you know, Ken Whisenhunt has always done a good job. He's only had one losing season with this team. And, you know, they have quite the challenge this week with Philadelphia. You know, it's funny, the last time the Eagles started out 2-0, they went to the Super Bowl in 2004 against the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
The last time the Cardinals started out 2-0, they went to the Super Bowl against the Steelers.
Wow.
So I don't know what that means, but I got to give credit where credit's due. They got heat on Brady, great interception by Patrick Peterson, a block punt that set up a touchdown.
The block punt was the ball game, honesty.
They
it really
did
was.
All the little things, and yet, there was a little suspense at the end when Ryan Williams coughed up the football.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it just wasn't meant to be. And I think the reason I was so stunned is, first of all, we know how good New England is at home. You know, they're usually good for 30-something points a game.
Mm-hmm.
Their record against the NFC going back to 2001 is extraordinary.
Phenomenal, yes.
If you include the postseason, 41-8 against NFC teams, and three of those eight, as we know, are to the Giants.
Right.
And, of course, 4 years ago, the Cardinals, different team, I understand that, walks into New England on a snowy afternoon and loses by 40. So, and they also had not beaten the Patriots. I think they had lost 5 in a row to them going back to the early 90s. So, yes, I think it was pretty stunning, but, you know, it's one of those games in terms of Arizona. obviously something to build, they can try and build on. I know San Francisco clinched a division in July, theoretically. So maybe it might be a pretty I'll tell you something about the NFC West. And last week I got so many questions. When was the last time all four NFC West teams won in the same weekend?
Yeah, how about that, huh?
And guess what? It happened last year.
No, seriously?
Yeah,
really?
It might have been week 10 last year.
Well, leave it to you to dig that up.
You know what it is? The times when you get those questions, and this is not to dispel the question, sometimes there's a little luck involved in it. Mm-hmm. Because if you're playing, well, here's what we know. It wasn't week 17 last year because they were playing each other head-to-head.
Right.
There was no way it could be for any no division swept all four games last year in week 17 because they're all playing each other.
Right.
So sometimes that comes that's part of it. But no, last year it was the last game that the Rams won all season, unfortunately for them, last year. But San Francisco won, Arizona won, Seattle, and of course St. Louis. And I had to start somewhere when I went digging it up. And I now that I saw it, I kind of remember it from last year. But it's not something that jumps necessarily out. But I'll tell you something. You know, Jeff Fisher's there now. Wisenhunt's done a good job. The change in San Francisco since Jim Harbaugh got there. I mean, look at their start. 2-0 and two wins over the Packers and Lions, the two playoff teams from last year. And Seattle did a number on Dallas last week.
Right.
So, very, very interesting start in that division, but to answer your question that you probably asked me an hour ago, stunned. I mean, I really was stunned, and it had nothing to do with, you know, it's not Tom Brady versus Kevin Cobb, okay? This league is a game of matchups, and you wonder why certain teams are able to do certain things. You know, if you look at that game last week, you feel like that Arizona's defense and special teams, and great job by Ray Horton there, their defensive coordinator who joined the team last year. I mean, we know Arizona's got some good coaching with Wisenhunt, Russ Grimm, et cetera. And I think what made it surprising to me, and I'll just touch on Cobb for a second, was I remember Kevin Cobb throughout the preseason where he really struggled. He looked like it. Sometimes he had lost his confidence. And, of course, he lost the starting job to John Skelton, and then he comes in and He took over last week and took over a drive and led them to the game-winning score against Seattle in week one. But now he's starting again. And by the way, he hasn't started a lot of games in his career. So going in up to Gillette Stadium and that atmosphere against that team who comes off a big 21-point win, I thought it was a tough spot for any team. I mean, how many times do you hear, what's that crazy stat you hear about the teams from out west coming out and playing an early game on the East Coast?
Right, you hear that a lot.
Start dispelling that, because if you're pretty good, as someone else said, and I can't take credit for this one, it's not like you drive from Arizona to New England. You do take a plane, okay?
Yeah, you do.
It's not like, I mean, I understand if there's a covered wagon, you might be a little exhausted. Okay, but you get a little chance to. You understand the point I'm making.
Yes.
To me, it's games like tonight that you're probably a little more concerned with travel, because here are the Giants, both teams coming on a short week, and the Giants are the traveling team.
Right. Good segue, Russell, into the Thursday night game. I like that. You're a professional.
Hey, I've done this a few times.
I'm sure, and, yes, you have. That's why we love it. Giants playing at the Panthers tonight, the defending champs, at a team that still may be trying to find itself, but might have found itself a little bit better over the last week or so.
Yeah, very, very interesting game last week, and down 27-13, and maybe on the verge of going down 0-2, and both losses in their own building.
Right.
But you know what got lost last week? But obviously Eli threw for the 510, and you heard out where that ranks. I think it's tied for eighth all time.
Mm-hmm.
Threw for 243 yards in the fourth quarter, and two touchdowns alone. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the number to me that got lost in that 243. It was only on 8 completions.
Hmm.
Now, I can do that
okay.
Real quick.
Yeah.
That's just over 30 yards of completion.
Right.
I mean, that's a staggering
That's
number.
A big number. Big number.
Okay. 243 for any game is pretty terrific. 8 of 13 for 243 in one quarter. So, I mean, listen, Johnny, run down to the end of the street and cut out near the trash can, and I'll throw you the ball. And, you know, you saw a little lot of that going down the right sideline. They pull it out. I know everybody wants to talk about the very, very end of the game. And one can only hope, when Tampa plays Dallas this week, that maybe it comes down to a Hail Mary at the end.
Do you like the Panthers at home? Do you like the Giants?
Yeah, I do. As you know, I picked the Panthers to win the NFC South.
Yep.
I think the Giants are a little shorthanded tonight. I think when you're playing a team like Carolina, you've got to be, ready for a shootout.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't really see what we thought we were going to see from Carolina in week one when they were held to 10 yards rushing and played a 16-10 game against Tampa Bay. Last week we saw pretty much what we expect from Carolina.
Right.
They score 35 and give up 27. They gained 463 yards. They gave up 487.
Sure.
They're still trying to find their defense. But they come at you with so many weapons. And I don't know if Jonathan Stewart is necessarily playing tonight, but they still have D'Angelo Williams, and they still have Mike Tolbert. And I think Greg Olsen's going to have a big year with Cam Newton this year. And I don't know how much you've seen of Cam Newton the first 2 weeks, but it was something I noticed during the preseason, John. The velocity of which he's throwing the ball right now, to me, looks better than it was last season.
Hmm.
And
that's saying
it's
something.
Be really interesting to see. And let me throw out one more stat about Carolina. You want to talk about improving?
Mm-hmm.
The year before Cam Newton got there, they went through four quarterbacks. I don't think that all of them started, but Tony Pike was one. You know, Jimmy Clausen. You know, et cetera, et cetera. Not once in 2010 during their 2-14 season did they ever gain at least 400 yards of total offense in any game, which is almost unheard of in the NFL today.
Mm-hmm.
And in the 18 games under Cam Newton, they've hit the 400-yard mark 9 times.
Okay. So it certainly looks as if they could, I don't know. Just call me silly on this one. I kind of like the Giants, and maybe it's just because it's still me kind of respecting what they did last season. But I do realize that Carolina is a little bit different than what they were a year ago. And with a year of growth underneath them, it certainly stands to reason that they can continue to improve.
I don't think you're crazy at all. I mean, the Giants are defending champions, okay? And, the Panthers last week were able to get off the schneid against a team who they had lost 4 straight to, and struggled against. Okay? But this is a different spot. This is a hungry team coming in against still a very, very young team. So would I be surprised if Cam Newton got sacked 6 times tonight and threw a pick for a touchdown and they lost the game at home? Absolutely not.
Okay. Divisional opponents for the Patriots this week, there are 2 games involving the 3 teams. Which, if you do your math, that means the 2 teams are playing each other. It's the Jets at the Dolphins. Both are 1-1. I have to admit, I'm a little surprised the Dolphins won last week, even though they were at home. They're home again against the New York Jets. And the Jets also played pretty well in week 1, not so in week 2. Are they a bit of an enigma here?
Well, yeah, and I think we expected that. You know, it's funny. We expected the Jets to be an enigma. We expected the Dolphins
to be
maybe
bad.
They scored 35 points against any team they played this year.
Right.
But Reggie Bush, by the way, who has now run for 100-plus in 5 of his last 6 games going back to last year. He had a great stretch run. Remember, he had that 200-yard game last year. 172 against the Raiders. Maybe that epitomizes the Raiders this year. But after looking as bad, and listen, Houston's made 2 teams look bad, so maybe, listen, from week to week, you can never really tell. But, the Jets score 48 points against the Bills, and they go right down the field at Pittsburgh, and you're thinking, wow, maybe Rex Ryan and Tony Sperano really did hide this thing pretty well. Unfortunately, as I pointed out in one of my columns, they had 90 yards on their first drive, and they had 129 the rest of the game and a field goal. And, 7-3 turned into 27-10. And I know Pittsburgh's a tough place to play, but they were also playing against a Steelers defense that was missing James Harrison and Troy Polamalu. So that was a little mystifying as well. And listen, Rex Ryan has had his issues with the Dolphins. He's 2-4 against them since he became the Jets head coach. And a lot of times the Jets win the battles and lose the war. I mean, they hold the Dolphins sometimes to these ridiculous amount of total yards, but the Dolphins find other ways to score points and or turn over Mark Sanchez. Remember the season finale last year in Miami, which was, you know, everything kind of came apart, you know, Santonio Holmes being sat down and all that craziness. And it was, like almost like a fitting exclamation point to a very disappointing season for the Jets. You know, can the Dolphins put 35 points on the board against them? I don't know necessarily. But Ryan Tannehill is going to see a much different defense this week than he did last week against Oakland. And I'm probably leaning a little toward the Jets as far as getting this one.
Okay. The other game involves the Bills on the road. They're playing at Cleveland. You know, I think I was as surprised as maybe anybody that the Bills threw up such a stinker in the first week. They're able to regroup a little last week, and they've got to go on the road. And, you know, is Cleveland as bad as they appear to be? I mean, I honestly didn't expect that. I'm not sure how many other people expected it as well.
Yeah, you know, Buffalo's, you know, it's funny, and obviously you'll remember the game. Buffalo, you know, I think these are the Buffalo Braves who became the L.A. Clippers. Because everything they do now is like on these big runs. Remember last year in the season finale, they were up 21-0 on the Patriots at Foxborough.
Right.
And then gave up 49 consecutive points to end the season.
Right, right.
Week one, they fall behind 41-7, lose by 20. Last week, they're ahead 35-3.
Right.
Win by 18.
Mm-hmm.
So your guess is as good as mine. Now, speaking of runs, that's some segue. C.J. Spiller now looks like a first-round draft choice.
He does, doesn't he?
And, you know, I had people saying to me, well, he got a lot of those yards in garbage time against the Jets. No, he didn't. You know, when the game was 21-0, he reeled off a 50-something-yard touchdown run. Okay? That's not garbage time. Okay? He looks like the big play explosive guy that everybody thought he could be when he was a top 10 draft choice a couple of years
right.
ago. You know, Fred Jackson goes down, and he came in last year, and he had a, you know, very, very respectable close to the season, and he's gotten off to a great start this year. And again, you know, I don't know if that's a product of the Kansas City. Well, I'll tell you, Kansas City and Oakland really not held up their end of the bargain in terms of playing defense.
Right.
In this league, and we should probably touch on Kansas City and New Orleans, because if ever there was a chance for a 50-50 game, I'm not talking about the chances and odds of winning. I'm talking about points and points.
Ooh.
Just look at the numbers that the Chiefs and the Saints have allowed in the first 2 weeks. It's scary similar.
Well, jump into that. Go ahead. Chiefs at the Saints Sunday afternoon. Yeah.
Both teams gave up 40 in the first week.
Yep.
Both teams gave up 35 in the second week.
Right.
Both teams have given up 9 touchdowns this year.
Wow.
Neither team has won a game. And their defenses are being run by Romeo Crennel and Steve Spagnuolo. Okay, now, Romeo's doing double duty, as we know. He's the defensive coordinator.
Right.
You got to be a little surprised by that.
A little.
A little surprised, but 75 points. Okay. And, you know, the Saints in the first two games, who they've given up the most yards in the league, and it's only two games. But they went from 459 against the Redskins to 463 against Carolina. I mean, those are stunning totals. And who would have thought this one? There's only one team in the entire NFC that hasn't won a game. And that's the New Orleans Saints.
That's shocking, isn't it?
Well, they only lost three games last year. They've already lost two.
Two, right.
And I don't know, maybe it's just me, John. You think coaching has something to do with...
Probably.
I'm guessing, because when you have more head coaches than you have losses after 2 weeks,
yeah,
that's not the kind of balance you're looking for.
No, it's not. And, I mean, people are thinking, oh, I think the Saints will be competitive, yada, yada, even though they had the whole, you know, the Bounty Gate thing happen. And, frankly, I said, I just don't know. I think that this is going to come up and bite them fairly quickly, and I think we're seeing that already.
Well, you know what's really interesting about that?
Yeah.
Is everybody didn't think everything was going to be good with New Orleans until Drew Brees signed his contract.
And then it was going to be automatically
better.
And then
everything's going to be fine, because as long as we have Drew Brees,
we're fine.
I guess we don't need a coach.
No.
And
just
you know the success that Sean Payton and Drew Brees have had together mm-hmm. in New Orleans, you know, this is we kid about this all the time. This isn't bowling, handball, or tennis. You can't go out and do this by yourself. Okay, Drew Brees throws a pick for a touchdown last week. Okay, and that actually changed the momentum of the game.
Right.
And then from that point on,
mm-hmm.
you never saw the Saints stop Carolina, you know, seemingly any time Carolina had the ball.
Right. The matchup of last week's victors against the Patriots and Ravens battle. We're talking about the Eagles and the Cardinals. They play against each other in Arizona. Both teams are 2-0. One of the couple of matches this week featuring 2-0 teams. However unlikely the Cardinals may be at 2-0, and you mentioned it early, of course, Russell, that last time the Cardinals started out 2-0, they made the Super Bowl. I think the Eagles were kind of thought that they might be there at 2-0, that they were seemed to be a late preseason favorite to be an NFC favorite, I think, maybe for the Super Bowl. So we're not surprised one team's there. We're a little surprised the other team's there. How much life is there really to this resurgent Cardinals team?
Well, I think there's certainly some life there, and the life is on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah. You know,
they still have issues on the, you know, to me, this is a quite the matchup for the Cardinals, and not in a great sense, because I would think that the Cardinals' biggest weakness is their offensive line, and there's no team deeper in the league at defensive line than the Philadelphia Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will also say that, you know, the Eagles just lost their starting center, and here comes Darnell Dockett, and here comes Calais Campbell, and, you know, so it's going to be really, really intriguing. And, you know, I heard people, you know, different things. I do these report cards for Bleacher Report, and I kept on getting a lot of these kind of responses, John. Well, the Eagles would have blown them out if they would have held on to the ball. Yeah, but they didn't.
But they didn't, yeah.
Okay? They have 9 turnovers in 2 games, okay? Now, I'm not going to prorate that because that's crazy. But they did have 38 turnovers last year.
That's
a lot. So that means 47 turnovers in 18 games.
That's extraordinary.
You know, and it's not like they had 7 turnovers and 2 turnovers this year. They had 5 against the Browns and 4 against the Ravens, and they rolled up astronomical totals in terms of yards. But listen, if you're into exciting football, no one's giving you more bang for the buck than the Eagles, because you don't know how every drive is going to end.
Right.
They're either going to score a touchdown or they didn't give the ball to somebody else. I mean, they came out against Baltimore, and think about it, 486 yards against the Baltimore Ravens, pretty impressive.
Very.
But they go right down the field right away, and Michael Vick throws a pick to Bernard Pollard. You know, they get inside the red zone, and LeSean McCoy fumbles. So, I mean, it's like rolling the dice. Now, they've managed to eke out 2 wins, and good for them that, you know, that 4-8 start from a year ago, now suddenly they've won 6 games in a row going back to last year. But they turned over the ball, I will say this, they turned over the ball 4 times against the Arizona Cardinals. All that will do is make the Cardinals believe they can win the game, which they obviously have a really, really good shot because they're playing at home. I think they get a lot of confidence from what happened with them last week in beating the Patriots.
Sure.
And I don't think they're not a team that's relying on Kevin Cobb to bail them out. I think they feel like they have a lot of different ways to win. And, you know, I think Philadelphia wins the game because I think it's a tall order to block those guys if you're a Cardinals offensive line that's, you know, lost Levi Brown before the start of the season. But I don't think the Eagles get away with 3 or 4 turnovers again. And, you know, you can't predict turnovers. But if they do, this time I think it comes back and bites them, because go ahead and turn over the ball to Patrick Peterson. Go ahead and place bad special teams against him. You know, go ahead and get a field goal blocked and returned for a touchdown. And you'll see the Eagles gain 500 yards. And if they have 4 turnovers again, I think this time they fall.
Okay. The other matchup of 2-0s, Falcons at the Chargers. Are we surprised at all that either one of those are 2-0?
I'm a little surprised by Atlanta, and maybe a little surprised by San Diego, because I just couldn't figure out San Diego during the offseason, John, because they went out and did something that they usually don't do, and that's sign a lot of free agents. A.J. Smith has been more of a draft guy than a free agent guy.
Yeah.
But Robert Meacham, Eddie Royal, Michael Spurlock, they had brought in Roscoe Parrish, but, you know, he wound up not making the team. Jarrett Johnson to help out the linebackers. Now, they have some issues. I mean, their offensive line's got some issues, and they're far from perfect. But this is also the first 2-0 start under North Turner. which may not surprise people because traditionally the Chargers have gotten off to bad starts with Turner, and then they somehow late in the season win 5 or 6 games in a row, and all of a sudden they're back in the playoffs.
Right.
Atlanta, you can't be much more efficient than they have. No turnovers, 7 takeaways. Even without a big game from Julio Jones, you know, they turned over Denver 4 times in the first quarter alone on Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going they're going cross country after a short week. I have no way to explain this. The Atlanta Falcons have never lost a game in San Diego. They're 5-0.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
Never.
Never. Not unless they went out there and played a flag football game and I have no knowledge of it.
Does that continue this week?
I think this is one of the tougher games to call. And I think the Chargers might even get Ryan Matthews back this week.
Mm-hmm.
I think that San Diego secondary is for the taking. But I'll tell you, if they wind up coming out here and listen, they're like the hottest team in the AFC West right now, because all we've seen so far from the Falcons is playing Kansas City and Denver.
Yeah.
And now they're playing San Diego.
Right.
I think it's a tough call. I mean, I think this is a field goal game either way. I wouldn't be surprised if San Diego won it. I think Atlanta's the better team, but it also might be, like I said, off a short week and traveling. Sometimes that's the kind of game that can hurt you. Like I said, travel to me, again, we're making the joke about nobody's walking and nobody's driving. But when you play a physical game on a Monday night and then have to play on a Sunday afternoon across the country, sometimes, I mean, we saw it last year with the Niners. You know, sometimes if you have to be on the East Coast 2 weeks in a row, you stay out there.
Yeah.
This is kind of a similar circumstance. Not really, but I think it's a field goal game. It'll be very intriguing. Atlanta gets off to a 3-0 start. That would be something, especially with the way New Orleans. Listen, we threw it that stat.
Mm-hmm.
No team's ever won the NFC South 2 years in a row. The Saints find themselves in a 3-game hole after 3 weeks. That's a lot of unburying to do.
Sure is. All right, well, then that brings us to the Sunday night game, 8:20 prime time. Patriots at the Ravens. Both teams are 1-1, and maybe both teams a little surprised to be 1-1. I know the Ravens lost last week on the road, but maybe it was the way they lost.
Mm-hmm.
When you hold it in comparison to the way they won in the first week, when they bludgeoned the Bengals by going no huddle. So which Ravens team are we going to see, you wonder?
I don't know. Right now I see the same Ravens team I saw last year. Remember last year, week 1, they throttled the Steelers at home, 35-7. Beat them every which way but lose. And they celebrated that win by going to Tennessee and losing. Now, you alluded to the way they lost the game, and I agree with you. They had a 10-point lead at Philadelphia, and Joe Flacco playing well. He threw a beautiful touchdown pass to Jacoby Jones, a great touch pass.
Right.
You watch Joe Flacco play right now, and he looks as confident as I've ever seen him. Instead of just being a strong-arm passer, he looks like a quarterback. And I will say this. If Brent Celek can have a day against the Ravens defense, I'm wondering what a Rob Gronkowski can do. But I'm wondering if the Patriots can protect Tom Brady, and which should be quite a Sunday night atmosphere there. And I would only suggest, and I do this in jest, by the way, that since Deion Branch came back this week, they might want to give Matt Light a call. Since you're bringing back Patriots.
That's one that we might think about
right. Bringing
back, yeah.
Well, I think... And anyway, listen, I mean, the Cardinals sacked Tom Brady 4 times last week, and he just never looked comfortable. Now, at the end of the game...
He didn't look comfortable.
But he didn't look comfortable. And again, I'm not picking on anybody in particular.
That's all right. We pick on him.
Line.
Go ahead.
A lot of cohesion. And they're not a cohesive unit right now. Obviously, a lot of changes from last year.
Well, Dan Connolly is supposed to be back this week. You know, he sat out last week after getting dinged in the head. So they're thinking that that should at least help some of the continuity problem that they had last week.
You start playing a different offensive line 3 or 4 weeks in a row, and, you know, you just go back and look at teams that wind up having those problems.
Yeah.
Even the greatest of quarterbacks will struggle behind that.
Yeah.
So I think it's a rough night for the Patriots. I mean, bottom line, barring a tie, one of these teams who were, you know, in the AFC title game last year is going to be 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And, you know, it's not like they've lost a bad team. Sometimes you're 1-2 because of the opponents you play, not that you're playing poorly. But Baltimore at night can be a really, really rough place to play. And,
sure.
You know, that being said, you know, Patriots have only ever lost to the Ravens once, ever.
That's right.
Which was the playoff game in 2009.
Here in Foxborough.
Right, where Ray Rice ran wild on the
first play of the game.
Scrimmage. You know, yep. You go back the last time they were in Baltimore, which was that Monday night game with the Jabbar Gaffney catch in the left side of the end zone when they were in the midst of that crazy ending with the timeouts and all those different things. And it was during their perfect season of, you know, the perfect regular season, at least during 2007. But Baltimore to me, John, kind of reminds me, at least early on, are they going to be a great home team again and then be mediocre on the road? Remember, last year they were 4-5 on the road, including the AFC title game.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Russell, as always, it's great to catch up with you. It's good stuff all the way around. We're rocking and rolling, and hopefully we're holding on for dear life here because we personally expect all hell to break loose next week with people wondering what's wrong with the Patriots if they lose a game to a team that's a Super Bowl contender on the road, no less.
Right. Well, I mean, listen, that's the firing call. What's wrong with the Patriots? What's wrong with the Packers?
Russell, you know as well as I do that will be a countrywide theme next week when you take a look at, you know, looking back at week three. I mean, there will be, you know, ESPN and Fox and all of them that do NFL Network. They'll all be wondering what the heck's wrong with the Patriots at 1-2.
I'll do you one better.
Yeah.
Okay? If they lose Sunday, it won't be what's wrong with the Patriots.
Okay.
It'll be, is the Patriots dynasty over?
Ah, okay. So
you know,
we'll bring out
for a while.
Yes, we'll bring out the big bad D word again. Yeah.
By the way, the dynasty is still intact. You and I have had that discussion.
Yes, there's no question.
11 straight winning seasons makes a dynasty.
There's no question about that.
Right.
No question.
Keep on going to the Super Bowl, you know, 5 times in 11 years, that's still a dynasty. I don't care if you won it.
No question.
Okay.
No question.
If they lose at Baltimore, depending on how they lose, is the dynasty over? That's my prediction.
Okay. Well, I think that'll be jumping a little ahead of it. Maybe we should wait until the season's over, but, you know.
Well, of course. I'm just telling you what the theme will be.
Right.
It's not what I'm saying.
Right.
Because I went and looked at the NFL rulebook. They require you to play all 16 games. They don't end the season after 3 weeks.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
You know, I know we love to crown out if the season ended today. Well, you know, I'm not that anxious for the season, and I like talking to you every Thursday.
Yeah.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Thank you, Dennis. Russell, great to talk to you, and we'll do it again next Thursday.
You got it, John. Have a great weekend. It'll be a fascinating game Sunday night.
No question about that. Russell Baxter, profootballguru.com. You can get him also as well on the Bleacher Report, Cold Hard Football Facts. He's one of the best, and that's why we have him in the playbook every Thursday. Going to get a timeout in here, and then I believe we've tracked down Aaron Wilson from the Collin County Times covering the Ravens. Got a couple of questions we want to throw out at him, and we'll get a few more of your predictions in coming up in the playbook.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
You can also do web radio at patriots.com. And don't forget Twitter at jrook0722. John.Rook on Facebook. Let's get to some of the predictions here. Back to the email, and this one comes from forums. Doesn't really give a first name, but he says, "Hiya, Pat's 27-15. We'll maul him." Okay. Well, somebody's got some confidence. That's good. Peter from Toronto. John, hope you are having a good day today, because I am. I really feel good about my prediction for the game this weekend. Patriots 21, Ravens 13, and Welker will have a touchdown. Interesting. I actually kind of agree with that. I think Welker might score this week, too. I usually don't go into the individual predictions about players and what they will or won't do in games, but I don't know. I seem to think because of all the controversy with Wes over the last week or two of the season, you know, as we've gotten started here, I just seem to think he'll be more of a focal point this week. Walter says, I think the main problem is the fact that receivers can't catch the ball. I've seen Welker and Gronk drop more than I remember from last year. Guess I got spoiled last year when they caught almost everything, Super Bowl excepted. I lay it on Lloyd. He's number one and number one in drops. Plus, the play calling sucks. Establish the run when you have a lead, not to stop drives. Yeah, that seems to be a common theme amongst a lot of the criticism this week on the play calling. We did go over that quite a bit on Tuesday's program here. And quite honestly, I can understand some of the thinking. Absolutely understand some of the thinking. We did kind of go over that. In fact, Jay sent this on Twitter. He said the play calling was horrendous last week when Brady went NH at the end and was calling plays off as came alive. I think I understand what that means. But, yes, it was better at the end when they had to go no huddle. That's what the NH, I assume, means. And kind of wondering, well, where the heck was that earlier in the game? It just wasn't consistent, and I think that's the problem, and that's kind of what we're looking for. Frank, offense will start to click. However, Ravens defense will win a few battles. We will beat them at their own game. Our defensive front will be physical and in Flacco's face, not what they are used to playing, the Pats. Flacco will stutter as a result and will win the turnover battle. See, I think that's key on Sunday. Got to win the turnover battle. Cannot make the mistakes that you made at home against Arizona. It cost you against a decent team. It will kill you on the road against a better than decent team like Baltimore is. Frank says, don't get me wrong, it'll be back and forth, but the Pats will win by a field goal off an interception. Okay, so he says definitely is going to be right down to the end with the turnovers. Big Daddy, I am a Chiefs fan and have seen many beginning of the ends. Watching this Patriots team reminds me of the way my beloved 06-07 team lost Trent Green and played without Priest Holmes. We still had a good enough team to make the playoffs, but you could see the shift from good team to mediocre. I feel the same is true of this Patriots team. I don't know if play calling was the issue, cockiness, or just player disinterest was to blame for the loss, but you guys might want to adjust expectations because this year's team will be made to look very average this year. Big Daddy says Ravens 28, Pats 24. I think Big Daddy senses the beginning of the end. Talked about that D word right there at the end with Russell Baxter today. Really? We're going to start getting that now? The end of the D? The end of the dynasty? Come on. Really? 1 week? That's going to do it? 1 week? Come on. Josh from Seaville. It's been since last season when I last emailed you, so I thought I'd send in my prediction. Thank you, Josh. Where you been? I think I'm going to call the game 20-17 in favor of our boys, the Patriots. And here's why. The O-line may struggle. The Ravens are hungry, but you have to consider that the Patriots have to want this one more than the Ravens. T-Sizzle being out definitely helps out our running game. T. Suggs, of course, Terrell Suggs. But with more of a clear blueprint for success laid out for us, I think we'll outperform the Ravens. Flacco looked outstanding in week one, but seems to be wavering a little bit. Assuming our D steps up, I think the Pats have this one nailed down, but it will be tight. Okay. Fair assessment. Fair assessment, Josh. Janine says, I am torn. I am tempted to pick the Ravens, but I have memories of them coming back and dominating against the Steelers at Heinz Field after the loss to the Browns in 2010. I still feel leery, though, and I know that you need a prediction, so I'm going to say Pat 17, Ravens 24. Ouch! Okay, Janine, thank you. Thank you for manning up. Or can we call it womaning up? All right, well, we have just a couple of minutes left in the program. We do want to check in on the Ravens' point of view here with Aaron Wilson. And, Aaron, thank you again for the time. We sure appreciate it. He's now with the Baltimore Sun as opposed to Carroll County. And so thank you, Aaron. A couple of quick things, and I know you're busy today, so thanks for checking in with us. Can you give us what the latest status is with Bernard Pollard? Because I know there was some question as to whether or not he was going to be healthy enough maybe to play. And has the injury report come out yet today in Baltimore?
We're waiting for that injury report today in Baltimore, but he reiterated again that he's going to play. He pretty much guaranteed it. and he was present at practice today and even hit a blocking sled. So it looked like he was at least doing some kind of activity. I would wonder if he's going to be listed as limited on the activity level, and I would think he'll be questionable. My expectation is he's not missing this game. He's got no fractures or anything in the ribs. It might be a little bit painful. Maybe he'll take a shot. And he'll play Sunday, and I'm sure he'll play pretty well.
That's kind of what we thought, and we kind of figured. After all, he is known around here as the Brady Killer or the Patriot
right.
Killer. So,
yeah, whatever reason, he tends to injure guys from New England.
Yeah, it just seemed to work out that way. Overall, where has the defense failed? I know last week we saw that the Eagles had some success, at least from what I was able to see of the game, some success throwing against the Ravens secondary, in particular with the tight end Brent Celek. And because the Patriots obviously like to emphasize the tight end, I can imagine that might be a point of emphasis this week in Baltimore.
Oh, yeah. Josh McDaniels might want to use that game as a blueprint. They're having trouble getting enough depth with the linebackers and their drops. And when Pollard went out of the game, they were particularly vulnerable with former Patriot James Iadabo playing safety. And I thought, he just didn't challenge Celek enough. And they played some soft zone. And they were worried about DeSean Jackson as a deep threat. And they conceded a lot of underneath stuff. And Brent Celek made them pay. And I don't think they ever really adapted very well to that. So obviously, it has to pay more attention to Rob Gronkowski, who's, an even more imposing tight end. And very quick after the catch, and I would think that, they'll do more to try to shut that down. But Pollard, it wasn't like he was pitching a shutout against Celek. Celek had a really long catch against Bernard, and then Bernard made him pay for it and kind of rattled him with a big hit. But, he got up and he kept going. It's definitely a point of emphasis for them.
Sure. Flip it on the other side, and we know that Dennis Pitta has had a pretty good start to his season. He's kind of out-gronked Gronk already. He's got one more catch than Rob Gronkowski does through 2 weeks. So, but I guess the biggest question mark that I have is watching all that no-huddle, that some of that spectacular offense against the Bengals, and then not to even really see the no-huddle get on the field at all against Philadelphia. What the heck's going on?
Yeah, it's like an identity crisis. They only did the no-huddle 6 out of 65 snaps, 4 in the first half, 2 in the third quarter, none in the fourth quarter, and they were in shotgun 37 to 42 times, and they seemed to take their sweet time getting the play called and running stuff. And I thought that offensively they just didn't get enough touches for Ray Rice, and they were way too dependent on the passing game, and they never ran in these third shorts, and Ray Rice does not have a carry in 2 games on third or fourth down this season.
Wow, that's extraordinary. So do you anticipate, in the conversation maybe from the players this week, do you anticipate maybe them getting back to a little bit of more of what they have done well in the past?
Yeah, I think that they've got to be a mix of things. And I think some part of this is they're in transition as they try to implement the no huddle, and it was very effective against Cincinnati. They thought that this game that it wasn't as good a strategy because of the Eagles' talented front seven, so
yeah.
They decided to do something a little bit different, and I thought that something different would be more smash mouth football, but they just went away from it at times, and it just didn't make a lot of sense to me. And Cam Cameron's been second guessed around town all week.
Sure, and we can understand that, and Patriots fans kind of second guessing Josh McDaniels as well. Then it kind of seems to me then this one breaks down to obviously what big games come down to, field position, turnovers, that kind of thing. But really, which team on either side is going to show up? Are we going to see the week one versions of these two teams? And if so, it should be spectacular. Or are we going to see the week two versions which basically fail to live up to expectations?
Yeah, I would tend to think that they'll definitely reprise their week one form and play better football, and I'm expecting a really good football game. And, I'm talking to a lot of guys. I was talking with Merrill Hodge last night. He thinks Baltimore wins a close game. I'm not sure. They do win a lot at home. They have won 19 of 20, mm-hmm. and they've won their last 13 games under John Harbaugh after a loss. So they've been pretty resilient. Just, a couple numbers. And what do they mean? They mean nothing. Every game stands on its own 2 feet, but I tend to think that, Baltimore, they'll come back and play well, but I expect that from Tom Brady and all those guys. I am expecting to see a lot of nickel coverage after what Arizona did, so I'm expecting that strategy being employed by the Ravens, and we'll see how effective it is. And like anything, you can run whatever you want, but it comes down to personnel, and Baltimore's a lot more vulnerable defensively than they used to be.
Well, that was standing. There's one major change between last year in January and the loss in the AFC Championship game in this year, and it has to do with the guy who missed the field goal, Billy Cundiff, not there, a freshman, if you will, a rookie from free agent, no less, from University of Texas in Justin Tucker, and all he's done this year is a 56-yarder for you.
He's been a rock star so far. This kid's made every kick. He really beat out Cundiff. It was just not even close. He made 60-plus yard field goals every day in practice, and ball just explodes off his foot. He's very accurate. I was talking with Matt Stover a few minutes ago before we got on the phone, and he's the former Ravens Pro Bowl kicker. He's retired now and a very respected guy, and he said he just loves to watch this kid kick. He says he's got a great leg. The field goals aren't even in question. They're just right down the middle. The 56-yarder, which tied a franchise record, that would have been good from 60.
Wow.
And he's got a great leg. He's a little guy, but he's got a great leg. I don't know why he only was 40 of 48 in Texas, but this kid, I think, has got everything working mechanically. He's got a lot of confidence in himself.
Absolutely.
He's got a swagger for a rookie kicker, and he won't be afraid.
Probably not, knowing what he's gone through in Austin. Aaron, thanks again for the time. We sure appreciate it. We'll check in with you sometime soon.
All right. Thank you very much.
You bet. Aaron Wilson, Baltimore Sun, covering the Baltimore Ravens. All right, now that we've got a couple moments left here before we get off to Football Nation, Jason says via email here, Jason and Sharon Mass, he thinks Flacco's overrated. Their defense is not what it was. He says Patriots demolished them 31-10. John says Pats win 28-24. Look for Gerard Mayo to have a monster game, he says. And then I think
Kraft and Mayo go together.
Kraft and Mayo go together. Had to sneak that one in there. Mary Beth on Facebook. John, I foresee a very close game. Prediction, Pats 28, Ravens 24. Why? Because I cannot bear to think of the Pats losing this game. That's why. Mary Beth probably could not say it any better myself. Brian gets the final prediction in here, and he says, the offense goes heavy with three tight end sets, but all this weight merely holds Nada and Lewis relatively at bay. Brady plays it safe, relies on Ridley and Vereen breaking a couple of big plays to put three field goals on the board, Winslow a TD in his debut, and after being picked on in coverage all day by Dennis Pitta, Hightower returns an interception for game-winning TD, and he says 23-17 Patriots. Unfortunately, I'm going to burst your bubble. And I got Ravens 23, Patriots 21. Just not sure I feel it, gang. I hope I'm wrong. I'm just not sure that I feel it.
Wait, so you said 23-21?
I said 20.
So the Patriots are covering the spread then?
Yes, I do have them covering the spread. Spread's 4, right? I have them covering that. But I still think the Ravens probably hold 4th at home in this one. All right, our thanks again to Aaron Wilson, now with the Baltimore Sun. Joining us, Russell Baxter, pro football guru, joining us. Enjoy the game. It's going to be a dandy on Sunday night. You know that. And we'll certainly go over it all again next week. Nitpick Tuesday right back here in the playbook next Tuesday, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time on Patriots.com radio. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate all the help. And don't forget, coming up next, we got Football Nation. Bill and Todd taking you right through week 3 in the NFL. See ya.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program.
Ron Jaworski,
Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf,
CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.